Bring you greetings, my brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we want to give thanks to God for Dr. Peter Ho, whose sermon last Sunday on Matthew chapter 24. And we learned from that sermon that while there are various positions on how the end times would unfold, all are agreed that Christ will come again. After all, that is what we profess in the Apostles' Creed, that Christ will come again to judge the living and the dead. And therefore, we are exhorted to reflect on what it means to prepare for Christ's return. In today's passage from Matthew chapter 25, I will focus on how we should prepare ourselves through the parable of the 10 virgins and the parable of the talents. As for the parable of the sheep and the goats, we will leave it to you to study in your cell group. In fact, we have already preached through this text last year, and I don't expect you to remember. Last year, we preached through Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 onwards, and it was during our topical sermon series on Christian community. And we pray that through today's message, we will know what it means to prepare ourselves for Christ's return, particularly on this day, Love in Action Sunday. Let us go to God in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you. May your Spirit give us attentive ears and open hearts so that we will hear your voice and respond with our lives, for we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Robert Baden Powell served as a British Army officer from 1864 to 1910. When he was about to retire in 1908, he wrote a book. And in that book, he called his readers to be prepared, to do their duty by having disciplined yourselves to be obedient to every order, and also by having thought out beforehand any accident or situation that might occur so that you know the right thing to do at the right moment and are willing to do it. And they should also be prepared to do their duty by making yourself strong and active and able to do the right thing at the right moment and do it. Even though these words were written more than 100 years ago, they might perhaps ring a bell for some among us. And the reason why they might ring a bell for some among us is because these words are taken from the book Scouting for Boys. Robert Baden Powell was the founder of the Scout movement with the motto, "Be prepared. Be prepared in mind and body to do the right thing at the right moment in the right way." And in Baden Powell's final letter to the Scout movement, he wrote these words: "Try and live this world a little better than you found it. And when your turn comes to die, you can die happy in feeling that at any rate you have not wasted your time but have done your best. Be prepared in this way to live happy and to die happy. Stick to your Scout promise always, even after you have ceased to be a boy, and God help you to do it." Be prepared. It's not just important as the motto for the Scout and Girl Guides. It is important to connect us from Matthew chapter 24 to Matthew chapter 25. And so, what it means to be prepared for Christ's return. In today's sermon, we shall unfold two discipleship principles, or what it means for us to prepare for Christ's return. Firstly, in the parable of the 10 virgins from verses 1 to 13, Jesus uses the wedding customs in the first century to make his point. And in those days, there would be a welcome procession. And in that welcome procession, they would escort the newlywed from the bride's home to the bridegroom's home for a feast. And those involved in the welcome procession would be single ladies who could be friends or relatives of the bride or groom, they will form the welcome procession. And to escort the couple on that journey, they would have oil lamps with them. It was necessary to have oil lamps with them because when it was getting dark, they needed the lamp to light the way to do the job of escorting. And it was necessary to bring enough oil with them because they needed to keep their lamps burning as long as needed. And because there was no way to anticipate the exact arrival time, it was necessary to bring enough oil, as much as possible, as much as needed to do their job. So in Jesus' parable, there were 5 wise virgins who brought with them extra oil, and 5 foolish ones who did not bring extra oil with them. And it turned out that the bridegroom was delayed. The wait was long. They became drowsy and all fell asleep. So the only difference was their level of preparedness. The wise ones had extra oil. Foolish ones did not have any oil with them. And when the bridegroom was about to arrive, there was a shout that rang out, and they all began to trim the lamp. And the foolish ones did not have enough oil to keep the lamps burning, and they were told to go and buy oil for themselves. And while they were away, they missed the arrival of the bridegroom, and they were turned away at the feast. And this parable unfolds for us a few important points. Firstly, the problem was not the bridegroom's delay, but the foolishness of unpreparedness. Secondly, the focus is on individual preparedness, not something that others can prepare for you. And all this brings us to the first discipleship principle: to be prepared despite the delay. And we ask the question, how does it look like for us to be prepared despite the delay? There was an American poet by the name of John Greenleaf Whittier who once wrote these words: "Of all sad words of tongue and pen, the saddest are, it might have been." It might have been. I should have. I wish I had. These are all sad and regretful words when people are caught unprepared. It might have been. I wish I had. I should have. And what's the implication for our preparation for Christ's return? And some of you who are Marvel movie fans will know that this Spider-Man movie sequel came out about 2 weekends ago. And when we watch Spider-Man movie, we always remember that wonderful quote from the very first movie. That quote would be, "With great power comes great responsibility." Even non-Marvel fans will know about that quote. That might be true for a Spider-Man movie, but in preparing for Christ's return, I give you another quote. And the quote is, "With long delay comes great preparedness." With long delay comes great preparedness, because you do not know when the day will come. And it is not just the long delay in Christ's return that threatens to compromise our preparedness. There's something else, perhaps in Singapore's context. Last year, 2025, Singapore's average life expectancy has increased to 83.9 years old. That's almost 84 years old. And with the advancement of medical care, it will continue to rise. That longer average life expectancy can give us a false sense of complacency. Well, we got a lot of time to prepare. Steady, take your time, because it's 84, moving 85. 86. However, average life expectancy is just that. An average 50% will go before 84, 50% will go after. It is an average. And due to my family history, and the fact that my father, he passed away when he was 42 because of a sudden heart attack, I always tell my family, I am statistically more likely to go before 84, okay? Statistically, before 84. Yeah. And that was why I mentioned in my sermon back in 2018, that's like 8 years ago, that I have an obituary mounted on a notice board in my room, in my office. And you ask, what kind of obituary is that? And some of you recall that I mentioned that that was my own obituary, okay? That's what I put up in that sermon and also in the notice board in my room. I was 42 years old, 8 years ago. I'm 50 this year. Hey, I haven't died yet, hey! Everybody cheer, hey! Hey, downstairs, online, yeah! Pastor haven't died yet. It's time to mark the milestone. And people mark milestone on 50-year-old, said big birthday, right? I update my photo. And that's a photo. All this brings us to the point. The greatest foolishness is the foolishness of unpreparedness. So let us be prepared despite the delay. And we do that to live according to God's word, to walk according to God's purposes, and to serve according to God's calling. Secondly, in the parable of the talents from verses 14 to 30, Jesus describes a master who was going away for a long journey, and he gave each of his three servants different amount of talents, 5, 2, and 1. According to our understanding, one talent, even one talent, considered a huge sum of money. Probably considered 20 years' wages for a laborer. So even one talent will be considered a large sum of money, let alone five. And the master gave the instruction that he would return and he would settle accounts with them. And while the master was away, the first servant with the five talents traded and he gained five more. The one with the two talents traded and he gained two more. At the time of accounting, when the master returned, noticed that both of them received the exact same commendation in verses 21 to 23. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. But the last servant with the one talent, he did not do anything with it. He buried it in the ground and returned it just as it was back to the master when he returned. Pay attention to verses 24 to 27. Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reaped where I have not sown, and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So you see, just as the 10 virgins, they were not judged for falling asleep during the long wait, but were judged by their level of preparedness. So likewise, the three servants, they were not judged for the differing amount given at the beginning, but judged by the level of faithfulness. And in order to understand the parables, we need to understand what you see on the slide of what Jesus is trying to say. And the reason why the third servant was unfaithful was because something had gone wrong. And we ask, what had gone wrong compared to the first two servants? And what had gone wrong was that he had the wrong view of his master. He saw his master as a hard man, reaping where he did not sow and gathering where he scattered no seed. And because he saw his master as a hard, greedy, exploitative person, he acted out of fear. In case he traded with that one talent, he suffered loss. He could not account for it. And so he buried that talent in the ground. In other words, what had gone wrong was that the wrong perception had led to a fearful response, and the fearful response led to faithless inaction. And compare that to the first two servants. For the first two servants, the right perception of the master led to a trusting response, and the trusting response led to a faithful action. And as we bring the two parables together, we begin to see that with long delay comes great preparedness, with assured return comes faithful stewardship, because there is a final day of accounting. And that brings us to the two discipleship principles: to be prepared despite the delay, and faithful until the return. And again we ask, how are we to be faithful until the return? Just as in the earlier parable, the problem was not the bridegroom's delay, but the foolishness of unpreparedness. The problem now was not the master's character, but the wickedness of unfaithfulness. Because the master said that even if you had saw me that way, you have seen me that way, at least you should have put it into the bank and I get interest, even if you were right. But he got it wrong, because it was a wrong perception altogether. Because the master was willing to reward the faithful servants, the first two servants. And therefore, instead, we are called to the right perception of God, leading to a trusting response towards Him, leading to a faithful action and stewardship, which can be categorized very broadly as our time, our talent, our treasure. And just like the three servants who were given differing amounts at the beginning, each and every one of us gifted with different amount of time, abilities, influence, opportunities, possession. And the challenge and call to us is that regardless of the amount that we have been given, we are called to account individually. And the call to us is to be a faithful steward of whatever amount that God has given to us. Because God holds each and every one of us individually accountable for whatever He has gifted, whether 5, 2, or 1. Many years ago, I saw this fascinating photo in the Straits Times of a man on a skateboard going up a ramp. And from the way that the photo was taken, it looked like a magic show, because he seemed to be floating in mid-air, half his body visible only. But that was not a magic show. This man from Venezuela, by the name of Alfonso Mendoza, he was actually born without legs. Abandoned by his parents at birth, bullied by his classmates in school, he led a life of despair until a friend gave him a skateboard. Why a skateboard of all things? So that he could move around without relying on a wheelchair. And he started to move around very readily on a skateboard, and he learned skateboard stunts. And like many people at that time who were escaping poverty in Venezuela, he actually moved on across the dangerous border into Colombia. And since then, he found a new life doing skateboard stunts and giving motivational talks to young people. And despite his disability and limitations, he recognized what God had given him. And at the talks that he gave to young people, he will always say this verse: God didn't give me legs, but he replaced them with talents. Therefore, no matter what God has given to us, no matter what God has given to you, whether 5, 2, or 1 talent, let us be prepared, despite the delay, and faithful until the return. On 15 August 1964, 62 years almost to the day, in the African country of Congo, anti-government rebel forces advanced and captured the mission hospital where the British missionary doctor, Helen Roseville, was serving. She and many of the female staff, they were violently beaten, sexually assaulted, and brutally imprisoned for 5 long months. Finally, she was released, and she returned to England to recover from the trauma. And we might assume that such a person who had gone through such trials and tribulations would be completely done with missionary service. But that was not so. After 2 years, she returned to the Congo to assist in starting a new medical school, to build a new hospital, and continue in missionary service for many long years. And looking back on those years and days of trials and tribulations, she wrote these moving words: "There is no circumstance, however difficult, no suffering, however afflicting, no sacrifice, however costly, that can ever make us regret having given ourselves utterly to the Lord Jesus Christ." Helen Roseville, she embodied the discipleship principles from the 5 wise virgins and 2 faithful servants. At the end of the day, the bridegroom does not ask, "Do you know when I would return?" But rather, "Were you prepared?" The master does not ask, "Did you receive as much as everybody else?" No. The master asks, "Were you faithful?" Therefore, let us be prepared despite the delay, faithful until the return, so that by God's grace we too may one day hear those wonderful words: "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." Amen. Let us all stand as we respond. My brothers and sisters, our sermon and Bible studies on the Gospel of Matthew at the end of chapter 25, that will be the last major public teaching of Jesus before he proceeds to the cross. And as we come to this text, the challenge for each and every one of us is clear. Christ will come again to judge the living and the dead. And in these parables, Jesus calls each and every one of us to be prepared despite the delay, faithful until the return. Because the return will be sudden. We do not know when that will be, And there will be a day of accounting. And each and every one of us will be individually accountable. By God's grace, this day, let us pray that God will consecrate us, prepare us, that we may be ready for that day. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you, giving thanks for how you remind us through your word that Christ will surely return. Forgive us for the times when we have become complacent in waiting and careless in stewardship. Inspire us by your Spirit to live with preparedness despite the delay and faithfulness until the return. Inspire us to trust your goodness, to steward all that you have entrusted to us, and serve you with joyful hearts until the day that Christ returns or he calls us home, when we shall hear those precious words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Master, who will come again to judge the living and the dead. Amen. Please be seated.